Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santaferadiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we are at facebook.com/radiocafe. You can friend us there. Later on in the program, Rob DeWalt will be here, speaking of the arts, and Thomas Larson will be here also. He's going to be talking about the saddest music ever written, the story of Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings. Right now, I would like to welcome Carolyn Fraser. She is a writer. She's the author of several books, including her latest one is Rewilding the World, Dispatches from the Conservation Revolution. And Bianca Saposi-Belknap is here. She is the associate director at EarthCare. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi.
So you're here. We're here to talk about, today is 10-8-10, the 8th of October, which sounds like fertilizer proportions or something. But anyway, in a couple of days, it's 10-10-10, which is a very big day for advocates of dealing with climate change. What's going on here in New Mexico on the 10th of October?
Well, we have been organizing an event with a number of community volunteers to basically teach skills that folks can implement in their own households to take action immediately to reduce their ecological footprint. And so we'll be having a Skillshare on Sunday, 10-10-10, and also doing outreach to neighboring communities. We're going to be holding the Skillshare at Frenchie's, and then after we do some trading of skills and insights into how to change our household footprints, we'll actually be going out into the surrounding neighborhoods and knocking on people's doors and sharing with them information about city programs and also these grassroots solutions that they can implement in their own houses.
And it's going to be from 1 to 6 at Frenchie's Field, which is, as most people probably know in Santa Fe, is at Agua Fria and Osage.
And that's a big, nice open space where people walk doggies and look at the beautiful little landscape there. There is a lot that people can do, and it's been talked about a whole lot on this show and in communities that care about this kind of thing, which is, if you don't, you're living on another planet, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, what, besides changing your light bulbs and weatherizing your house, is on the agenda?
Well, we're going to have workshops and demonstrations about a lot of different things, including home gardening and composting. We're going to focus a lot on food, because food is really an issue that can involve a lot of waste and a lot of wasted energy. If you're buying your food from someplace really far away, you're paying for all that energy to bring it to Santa Fe. So the more food that you can grow yourself, the food that you can preserve by drying or canning, or some of these other old great methods, are really good ways to cut your food bill, but also save energy.
Do you guys do this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up in a household where my parents, you know, grew up during the Depression, and they were both really big into canning.
I have to say for myself that I'm of the generation that's kind of lost touch with some of those traditional practices, and so part of what we do at EarthCare is we are learning as young professionals, but also learning with young people in this community how to sort of reconnect with those old traditions and those sustainable practices that, you know, other generations perhaps took for granted and didn't necessarily pass along to their children. And so it's fun. We have community garden plots all over the city, youth garden plots, and we're all just kind of learning how to do this ourselves and in some cases reminding our parents that it's a good idea to learn this stuff as well.
Is rainwater harvesting part of it?
Sure, yeah, we're going to have some information available for people about erosion control and how to solve erosion problems on your own property, because that's something that people really struggle with, I think, in this region. And also some water conservation stuff, do-it-yourself projects that you can do in your own kitchen or bathroom to save water and use gray water in your garden.
So the structure of this event is really to try to demonstrate things that folks can do on a really low budget and also to help save costs. So rather than kind of opting for the more advanced technological fixes that aren't necessarily accessible to all of our community members, we're really trying to focus the skill shares on things that people can do the next day in their house and do with very little money. And so when we're talking about gray water systems, we're talking about, you know, things that anyone could do with just some basic tools, and then also the same with erosion control and landscape harvesting of water to just really, you know, how do you get rocks and the materials that are already on your property, and how do you help to heal the land and control stormwater.
Now, this is happening here in Santa Fe. It's happening in New Mexico. It's happening all over the world. What's the international context?
Well, it's a really exciting movement that was started a few years ago by Bill McKibben, who is a very well-known environmental journalist in the U.S.
And who we had on the show a few weeks ago.
Great, yeah. I mean, he is just an incredible guy. He was one of really the first people to cover the whole issue of climate change in a serious way.
Yeah, he was writing, didn't his first book about climate change come out in like the early 90s?
Yeah, even in the 80s, I think he was writing about this at the New Yorker. He
right.
wrote a book called The End of Nature,
right.
which is really a classic now in the field. And he was really discouraged by the lack of action from governments around the world. So together with a bunch of scientists, he created this organization called 350.org. And the number 350 refers to 350 parts per million of carbon in the atmosphere, which is the highest safe level of carbon in the atmosphere, the highest level that we can go without causing really catastrophic change in the climate.
And we're already above that.
And we're already
well above that.
We're almost to 400. So we're already in a place where we're causing a lot of changes. I mean, the stuff that we saw this summer in Moscow and in Pakistan, I think that a lot of people, although it's hard to trace any individual weather event to climate change, I think we're really starting to see extreme weather events that may have a role in climate change and that are actually killing people.
Well, extreme weather events exactly along the lines predicted by climate change scientists, as long as we've been covering this. I mean, I've been covering the issue for, what, 4 or 5 years. I have got a call from a friend of mine who used to live here, who is from the area near Veracruz, Mexico. And he said, we're having a very hard time here. I said, what's going on? He said, we are horribly flooded. Mm-hmm. And I Googled, I didn't know there was a flood in Veracruz, and I looked it up, and there was those kind of pictures that you have, we've been seeing about Pakistan, with water up to the top of their front door and people going down the street in boats. Mm. And I looked in the New York Times, and I looked in the last month or so archive under Veracruz, under Mexico, under flood. The only stories about Mexico were abductions and recipes.
Wow. Yeah, it's something that I think that the more people learn about it, the more committed they are to doing whatever they can to change things in their own lives, in their own lifestyle. Because when you think about the fact that what we're doing here in this country may be causing mayhem all over the world, you know, morally there really is no other answer except to do everything that we can to try and change our energy use and reduce it.
And these are things that, I mean, the political component is hugely important, and that can be part of our lives as well through voting and through other activities. But meanwhile, the stuff we can do at home is really the grassroots thing and is empowering. I mean, when you talk about growing food, which is not everybody's thing and which is not necessarily that easy here in New Mexico, but nevertheless, it's one of many steps.
Yeah, and you know, the other idea with this event is that we have a lot of resources in our community, and a lot of folks know strategies for living more sustainably, in their own lives, and that we should start getting together and sharing those at a grassroots level, despite the fact that our, government officials aren't really taking this issue on. We can certainly build community and not only empower ourselves as individuals, but really empower ourselves as a community, so collectively we're really knowledgeable about what's happening and what our options are to move into the future in a more sustainable way. And so, we wanted to kick off this event with the Skillshare, but we also plan to follow this event with multiple other Skillshares throughout the year, so folks who come out might have other things that they want to share in the future, and we want to kind of continue to foster this idea that we can help our neighbors and one household at a time we can kind of turn the tide and really make a difference in the community, and that eventually our political leaders are going to have to start paying attention. So,
what's happening in other parts of New Mexico?
I think in Albuquerque they're having a big rally, and there are some people who are biking to Albuquerque from various other spots and then taking the Rail Runner back home, and that's a way to demonstrate how important alternative means of transportation are. One of the things we're going to have on Sunday is a bike building and repair workshop with the Chainbreakers group. Because, there's a lot of kind of low-hanging fruit out there, really obvious things that people can do, and we just kind of want to get that idea out there. I mean, if you went to the grocery store one time a week on your bike instead of driving, that's going to make a difference.
And another thing that's very important, ladies and gentlemen, driving to work, is watch out for bicyclists. I saw just yesterday a little contentious incident between a driver who wasn't paying attention and a bicyclist who started yelling at him. And I imagine these kind of things happen all the time because people don't. Actually, last year, somebody I knew witnessed a hit and run, and the car didn't even notice that they'd hit somebody. They didn't even speed away. They just are so unaware of bicyclists. So it's something that works not only the bicycle riders, but the drivers.
Sure. Yeah, on that note, I think it is important to mention that we're co-hosting the event with the City of Santa Fe, and it's sort of part of our effort through a program of ours called the Youth Food Cadre to work with the city to really push forward the Sustainable Santa Fe Plan, and so to make some of the structures in our city, some of the infrastructure and the institutions more amenable to these changes that individuals are trying to make. And biking is a good example. It's great if people want to implement these practices in their personal lives, but you do hit up against these economic and political and infrastructural structures that are kind of limiting. And so it is important that we have that relationship with our local government and, all the programs that they're offering to try to implement sustainable practices so that it's easier for individuals to actually do the right thing.
Like dealing with the cement traffic calming devices in the middle of the bike lanes?
Exactly.
Sorry, little pet peeve there. So this is all happening. It's part of 10-10-10, which is October 10th, 2010. And for more information of what's going on internationally and nationally and in the state, you can go to 350.org, 350.org. And meanwhile, you can show up from, what is it, 10 to...
It starts at 1 o'clock
In
the afternoon at Frenchie's Field Barn on Agua Fria and Osage.
And bring nothing at all, just show up.
Yeah, we'll have lots of activities, and there's going to be a van with people who can teach you how to make sustainable art materials. So there's lots of fun things.
Sustainable art materials?
Yeah, make your own inks.
Really?
Yeah, it's the Axel Contemporary Group is going to be out there with us, and they are going to teach people how to make charcoal and inks.
Excellent. Well, Carolyn Fraser is the author of the book Rewilding the World, Dispatches from the Conservation Revolution, and Bianca Saposi-Belknap is the Associate Director at EarthCare. For more information, and especially over the weekend if you need to find out more, you can call Bianca at 699-1025. You can also go to 350.org. And when I looked at at the site of what's happening, it's extraordinary how many countries are part of this. They were trying to get every country in the world, and I think they've come pretty close.
Yeah, so the total is there's 188 countries right now that have events, and there's over 7,000 events happening worldwide. So it's an exciting movement that's emerging.
Yeah, it's really an amazing grassroots effort. I think that beats just about anything that's ever been organized before.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is all happening this weekend. Bianca and Caroline, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having us.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned. I'd like now to welcome Thomas Larson. He's the author of the book, The Saddest Music Ever Written, The Story of Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings, and he will be speaking tonight at 6 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore. Welcome.
Hi, good morning.
So this is a piece of classical, I guess you'd call it classical music, 20th century music, that is really, really famous, and even if you don't know that you've heard it, the chances are you've heard it.
Yeah, you've heard it because it's been featured in film most predominantly. The most famous example is the anti-war movie Platoon from 1986, which the movie is saturated with this music. And because of that, it's taken on this aura of, it has a kind of anti-war cast. Sometimes when people hear it, they think of Vietnam, and they think the music is sort of against the war. All of that turned around, of course, when the music was revived after 9/11, and it became a kind of honorific to grieve the loss of those who died at 9/11, because it was played at a lot of memorial services after that. So those two cultural moments really say a lot about the film in our lifetime.
It's interesting as an example of how music is used to really go into our hearts in the most important times of our lives.
Yes, we don't have a lot of grief music, and we don't have a lot of grief rituals in our culture. And to me, this is one reason why it has such a popularity, because it's so immediate. It sort of transcends musical periods. It sounds like it may have been written in the Renaissance or in the contemporary time. It has a gorgeous and yet simple melody that anyone can follow, and its repetition pushes us deeper into the feeling. Since it lasts a good eight or 9 minutes, we have to sit with it for the whole time. It's not over soon.
Now, Samuel Barber was an interesting character who was a very precocious, I guess you would call him sort of a child prodigy, who wrote his first composition was a sad song of some kind?
Yeah, it was 7 years old. He wrote a little piano piece called Sadness. And indeed, he suffered all his life from melancholia. He was a depressive, and it slowly worsened over his life. But still, he was able to get sort of what I think of as the range of the darker emotions, like sadness and meditation and depression, into his music. No other composer sounds like him, and no one sort of went as deep into these darker places, at least in the American classical canon.
How did you decide to write an entire book about a relatively short piece?
Yeah, well, that was the challenge right there, to see if I could do it, an 8-minute piece, and see how many chapters I could get. I didn't know I could do it until I got well into it. And then I discovered its history, because the history of when and how it was written is fascinating, the Barber story itself, but then how it's been appropriated in our culture for the use in memorials, in funerals, in film, in television. It's been parodied. I just found this incredibly rich cultural history that said something beyond what I could just say personally about it as a piece of music.
There is this strange thing of pieces of music that just inherently make you cry.
Yeah.
And it's hard to put your finger on exactly what that is, and this piece has that.
It has it because we have it. It I think is slow enough and minor keyed enough and repetitious enough to bring that out of us. I don't think it makes all people cry, but if, you know, music is really personal, if you bring to it personal feelings and you're open to music's transformative power in that way. Other pieces, Schubert, Shostakovich, the great Estonian composer Arvo Pärt, all have very sad pieces. And I think it really depends on the person. But once you tap into that personal sadness, you feel a kind of universality that often even transcends your own private grief.
So you will be talking about the book tonight at Collected Works Bookstore. Will you play the piece of music as part of the...
What I have is this 45-minute sort of audiovisual presentation, and I play a number of YouTube clips from it. I talk about its history, its cultural appropriation. I talk about my personal relationship with the music, and we even hear from Barber, too, from some audio clips of him speaking as well.
We're going to go out and just hear a couple of minutes of the piece, Adagio for Strings. Thomas Larsen is the author of the book, The Saddest Music Ever Written, The Story of Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings. And once again, he will be in Santa Fe tonight at 6 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore, which is near the plaza in Santa Fe. It's on Galisteo Street on the corner of Water. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
And here we go. That was Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings. Rob DeWalt is with us here. Speaking of the arts, he's with the Pasatiempo, which is the Friday art supplement in the Santa Fe New Mexican. Hi.
Howdy.
Did you know that Samuel Barber wrote that when he was about 26 years old?
Wow. If I remember the
we
things that
well
I wrote when I, was,
up.
Yeah, when I was 26 years old, I was writing postcards and apology letters.
Yeah, no, what an amazing piece of music and a great story. So Thomas Larsen tonight at 6 o'clock at Collected Works.
Collected Works. True. There was a beautiful double rainbow. Some people are telling me it was a triple rainbow, but I don't believe that.
It could be.
But it was gorgeous. It was you could see it driving in from Pecos.
Just
it was
this morning?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it just disappeared as soon as I got into town. No pot of gold for me.
Let's talk a little bit more about what's happening at Collected Works this weekend. Besides this event tonight, tomorrow at 6 o'clock, poets Cynthia Hoag and Devereaux Baker will read new works. On Wednesday at 6 o'clock, Eddie Chukulet, is that right? I don't know how you say it.
Chukulet?
Will read from his new book, Cheyenne Madonna. And then on Thursday, the 14th of October, Collected Works presents, as part of Muse Times 2, that poetry series, Lisa Chavez and Joanne Dwyer.
Sweet. How are you doing?
All free events. Hanging in there. How about you?
Good, good. I think it's time for some rain and some snow, though. It's time. It's time to get into fall, you know, like real fall.
Yeah.
I went up and saw the aspens up at the ski basin last weekend.
Were they fabulous?
Oh, it was gorgeous. We brought a friend who had an assistance dog in training, and we actually got on the chairlift, and the dog stayed down below, and we called it from the chairlift, and it came all the way up the mountain.
No.
Yep. Good dog.
That's some real good dogage. I think mine would have neurotic heart attacks if I tried to do that with them.
Yeah, his name was Trevor. Gorgeous chocolate lab. Anyway, tons of stuff going on.
Tons.
This weekend. Lots of art openings. A bunch on Friday, including one at Linda Durham Contemporary Art in Nature. Painting, sculpture, and photographs by David Kimball Anderson and Gambit, an opening move, sculpture by Yozo Suzuki, reception tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. And that's up through November 13th.
And tonight, A Midsummer Night's Dream is happening at Santa Fe University of Arts and Design, the Greer Garson Theater. This weekend and next weekend, we're actually going to be talking to the director next week. Didn't get to it this week, but it's Friday and Saturday at 8 and Sunday matinees at 2 o'clock.
Yes, and there's an interview. I did an interview with him in today's Pasa Tiempo.
Oh, good.
A little short interview. Just a little background on the gentleman.
Excellent.
And his wife is actually working at the college, too, or the university, excuse me.
The university.
In costuming.
Wonderful.
Which she's done for 30 years. So that's opening night. Also, all kinds of plays. Bless Me Ultima tonight at 7 p.m. at the Armory for the Arts. Also on Saturday at 7 and Sunday at 2 o'clock. And that's presented by the Vortex Theater and the National Hispanic Cultural Center. And then, of course, Robert Knotts, There's No Place Like Homicide continues.
Yes.
Tonight at 7:30 p.m., Saturday at 7:30 p.m., and Sunday at 2 at Warehouse 21. This is the final weekend.
I know. Have you gone yet?
Don't tell Robert.
He'll never know if we talk about it.
I saw it when it was done like years ago.
Uh-huh.
So it's still kind of fresh in my mind, but I'd like to see it with new players.
Yeah, definitely. You know? Yeah, it's talented young folks in Santa Fe doing that play. More Than Mary Cassatt, Women in Art Lecture Series, presented by the Center for Contemporary Art here and the New Mexico Committee of the National... This is a long acronym. New Mexico Committee of the National Museum of Women in the Arts.
As it's better known.
And that is at the CCA. And it says where, what, but it doesn't say when, ladies and gentlemen. So call the CCA.
Hey, speaking of the Ski Santa Fe's Fall Scenic Chairlift, it's happening every day through mid-November. You just buy tickets there while you're there. There's two ways you can do it. I won't mention prizes, but you can either go up and then walk down, or you can go up and go down on the lift. Or I suppose you could walk up and then go down on the lift, but that would be kind of hairy, unless you're like, you know, into getting really healthy and stuff like that. But watch out for altitude.
And that would be wrong because?
Bring plenty of water and snacks. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Okay. Not to mention dog treats.
Yeah. You know what? It's the He, She, Bang 2010 this weekend in Madrid, which I didn't know anything about.
By Madrid, do you mean Madrid?
Oh, you know what? It's been a while since I've even said that word. But Alice in Madridland is the theme of the He, She, Bang this year.
What's the He, She, Bang?
He, She, Bang is sort of it's a fundraiser. It's sort of a drag fundraiser that they do every year. They usually have a big parade out in Madrid.
Who are they raising funds for?
You know what? Because nobody sent me a press release this year, I have no idea.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to send your press releases.
But if you go to the, if you call the Mineshaft Tavern in Madrid or go to the Mineshaft Tavern on Friday, you will be able to find out.
And so we have a pair of tickets to give away for the Dan Hoyle show.
Yes.
And tell us about Dan Hoyle. I'm going to be interviewing next week, but I haven't talked to him yet.
It's at the Lensic. Actually, one of our, Casey Sanchez, is going to be talking to him next week, too. But I don't know much about the show. I know that, he's basically embedded himself. He traveled around and embedded himself in sort of conservative culture for a year, right?
Yeah. And isn't the show called The Real Americans?
The Real Americans, yes.
And so he is talking about basically what would you call it, Sarah Palin's America is thinking about and talking about?
I think it's broader than that. I mean, I think that my understanding is that he found some surprises on both sides of the aisle.
Uh-huh.
But it sounds like an interesting show. When is that again?
I'm looking for it right now. We'll find
okay,
it in a moment.
You're
I have to do a little
that.
Search. But
it's
meanwhile,
October 16th.
Thank
October
you.
16th. What day of the week is that?
That's Saturday, 7 p.m. Lindsay.
Oh, so it's not for another week. All right.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're doing a ticket giveaway now. And the fourth caller to call Mary Lynn at 428-1382 gets a pair of tickets to Dan Hoyle.
As well as the fifth caller.
Oh, we're giving away two pairs of tickets?
Sweet.
Right on.
Awesome. The third and the fifth caller. So.
Hey, I want to mention this. On Sunday at 11 a.m. at Salazar Elementary School, Cooking with Kids is hosting its Harvest Brunch. There's a bunch of their super chefs, including like Rocky Durham, John Bullardson, Seamus Collins, a bunch of other people are going to be preparing this nice meal for the nonprofit organization, which provides food and nutrition education to school children. That's at 11 a.m. on Sunday. If you call 438-0098, you can get more information on tickets.
And I've just found the thing for Dan Hoyle, actor and writer, The Real Americans, October 15th and 16th at 7 o'clock at the Lensic. That's the information on that, 988-1234.
Right. Have you been to this Nightbeat Poetry Slam thing that they're doing at El Farol yet?
No.
I haven't either. It's been going on for a little while.
Well, then we're just the blind leading the blind.
I know. And I've heard advertisements for it on the radio, but I haven't been yet. But it's basically a poetry slam weekly. Mondays at 8 p.m. at El Farol, and it's kind of a, I suppose you can throw your name in the hat is the idea.
And recite.
Yes, and they'll provide background music, or you can
really?
Provide background music. Well, I'm sure there's lots of humming, maybe some snaps. I don't know.
Like beatnik.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, man. Yeah. The 2010 Pinion Awards are happening on Tuesday at 6 p.m. at the Lensic Performing Arts Center. This year's recipients include Artworks, the Pueblo Otisuki Agricultural Resources Program, Santa Fe Youth Symphony's Mozart y Mariachi Program, El Centro Family Health, and Rocky Mountain Youth Corps. It's free, but you got to RSVP if you want a seat. And this fills up fast. Call 988-9715 extension 3 to get yourself a chair there.
Warehouse 21 and Love Fest Productions presents in concert Nicole Atkins and the Black Sea. She apparently has been on David Letterman recently. Rolling Stone called her one of the top 10 artists to watch. And she will be here in Santa Fe on Tuesday, the 12th of October at 7:30 in the evening.
Yeah, in terms of visiting singer-songwriters, this is kind of a big deal. She's touring with the Black Keys right now. Who are they?
Yeah.
You really must read more music magazines. No, they're just an indie rock band that everybody loves.
Oh, the set containing everybody.
The hipsters love them some Black Keys, but she's got this beautiful voice. She's like some of her influences that she's talked about are Donny Osmond, Roy Orbison, Patsy Cline. But she's got a really smoky, sexy voice.
Nice.
And she's kind of she's sort of into music mentoring. So she's
hence Warehouse 21.
Right. So I believe that she's on some kind of a secret mission in that regard.
Cool.
But it's a great way to support Warehouse 21. It's a fundraiser for Warehouse 21, actually.
Oh, good. Wonderful.
So get over there.
The Fabulous Rummage Sale, the annual fabulous rummage sale for the friend and families and everybody else in the community of the Dragonfly School is happening tomorrow from 7 in the morning till 2:30 in the afternoon. The Dragonfly School is at 935 Alto Street. They've got baby stuff and kid stuff and car seats and strollers and bicycles and tricycles and books and all kinds of things, furniture, all kinds of things. For more information, 995-9869.
You know what's happening tonight is Anatomy of a Symphony, which is the Santa Fe Community Orchestra's musical preview of its season. And it discusses its season opener. It's a fall concert from 6 to 7 p.m. at St. Francis Auditorium. I love that building. There's no charge. There's a story in today's Boston Tempo on page 22.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
One of the great things about going to events like that is for people who are not musicians and who've never been students of music, but who like to go to symphonies, once you learn some things about form, then you hear in a new way, which is really fulfilling.
This is true. I don't know. Not many kids get music appreciation in that regard in school anymore.
They don't get music anything, as far as I've heard. the tickets are gone for Dan Hoyle. Yay. Thanks, callers, for calling in.
Yay. Oh, the Melvins are playing
Who?
Tomorrow night. The Melvins.
Great. Is that like the Alvins and the Chipmunks?
No. No, the Melvins are a band from Washington State, and they sort of came up during the grunge period. I would call them more punk than grunge, but they had a huge influence on bands like Nirvana. And they've put out a ton of albums, I think 20 full-length albums, 50 albums in all. And they're still kicking it. And
they're
playing Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. at the Santa Fe Brewing Company. Tickets are available at the Lensit.
Awesome. And tomorrow, the Santa Fe Council on International Relations presents Rogues and Rogue Nations. It's part of the lecture series. It's from 3 to 5 at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. It doesn't say where at the Santa Fe. Usually those things are at the forum. But anyway, Charles Armstrong is the Korea Foundation Professor of Korean Studies in the Social Sciences at Columbia University. And
so Kim Jong-il is going to be a part of this discussion.
Right. Uh-huh. And if you need to know more about Kim Jong-il, all you have to do is watch Team
South
America
Park.
World Police.
Yes. All you have to do is watch anything that Parker does. Trey Parker. High Mayhem's fall series continues on Saturday. This is a four-week sort of series that they've put together. They used to do it over the course of a weekend, and I interviewed the curator, and I'll be writing about that in a week. But the series, this is the third of four weekend performances on Saturday with Out of Context, The Rumble Trio with Scott Moore, Intero Bang Battery, Novel Interpreter, there's the Proxemics, lots of great experimental and other kinds of music Saturday at 7 p.m. over there in their studios at 2811 Siler Lane. And there's a cover at the door, but it's minimal for the number of bands that you get to enjoy.
Excellent.
What else is going on? Cordelia Snow, Dee Dee Snow, on Saturday is going to be speaking about reading from her book, All Trails Lead to Santa Fe. She's an archaeologist, and she's going to be, in recognition of Santa Fe's 400th anniversary, she's going to be discussing and reading from that at 3 p.m. at Borders Books on Zafferano Drive. So.
And on Wednesday, Santa Fe Art Institute at their own building will be having a video opera by animator and filmmaker Alexis Gideon. It's at 6 o'clock on Wednesday of next week, and it's free to the public. You can go to sfaiblog.org. They've got a blog on SFAI has a new blog.
Excellent.
sfaiblog.org.
There's a story about that in today's Paso Tiempo by
Excellent.
Casey Sanchez also. What else is going on? The Life, Work, and Conservation Ethic of Ernest Thomas Seton. David Witt, an art historian and curator and author, is going to be speaking on that topic at 6 p.m. on Monday, October 11th at Hotel Santa Fe. And that's a part of the Southwest Seminars Mother Earth, Father Sky series. There is an admission charge at the door. For more info, you can call 466-2775.
The Santa Fe Area Home Builders Association is doing their green building expo. Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Anyway, they're having local experts on green building science and techniques today They're doing classes for sixth graders tomorrow, classes for area high school students, and Sunday classes for professionals, architects, builders, realtors, and so on. Where is this happening? Santa Fe Community Convention Center. Go to greenbuildingsummit.com. That's what it is, Green Building Summit. And for more information, 982-1774.
Awesome. What else is going on? I'm going to try and pronounce this, and if I just fumble it up, excuse me, Cien Slobodchikov.
Cien Slobodchikov. I just had him on the show.
Oh, you did.
A few days ago, and he is the world's leading expert on prairie dogs.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. I'm so glad you're mentioning this.
So this is a book that this fellow has written called Prairie Dogs, Communication and Community in an Animal Society.
Yes.
So is it about prairie dogs communicating, or is it about...
It is about prairie dogs in general, including prairie dog communication.
I mean, like...
Okay, so you know how when when you're out and you walk by and prairie dogs notice that you're there or notice that your dog is there and they go, they stand up and their cute little paws are out front and they go, weep, 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 weep.
Uh-huh.
It turns out that each of those little sounds is a sentence.
Oh.
And they're not just saying, look out. They're saying, look out, there's a man wearing blue moving toward you fast.
Wow.
Or they will say, look out. There is a vicious dog running full speed. Or, and as we talked about, they'll say, or they have words for hawks and dogs and coyotes and people and all kinds of things. And they have adjectives like colors. And it's unbelievable, these prairie dogs. Anyway, so he's going to be speaking.
At, what, 5 p.m. at the Inn & Spot Loretto on, what, Sunday?
Sunday.
Yes.
And it's sponsored by Garcia Street Books.
Excellent.
It's 5, what did you say, 5 o'clock?
Yes, 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. Worth going. I've never been, I mean, there's a lot of interesting people who come through and we get them on the show, but that was one of the most interesting.
I wonder when they're going to start, like, offering prairie dog language classes. Because you've got to be able to mimic it, right?
You know, that's a great question. There are people who can mimic bird calls to the point where the birds are fooled, but those little sounds, they're less than a second long each, and they contain, what they've done is they've analyzed the waveforms of these sounds and been able to differentiate the different the differences between one, you know, it's hard to call them words, but they're essentially words,
right,
between one word and another.
Huh.
And I'm not sure if you could really imitate it.
No, probably not.
You might try to imitate it, and you think you were saying, hello, I come in peace.
And instead you're saying, eat my socks.
Yeah, or like, I am a vicious killer.
Right, right. Well, I mean, I'm sure that those sounds work better underground.
I mean, anyway. The truth is that different prairie dog species don't really even understand each other. So it's very much of a language groups thing. It would be like, you know, you and I go to Russia and try to understand what their language. We'd have to start from scratch.
Right. Unless you spoke Russian.
Yeah.
Do you speak
Russian?
No.
I don't either.
No. That's, of course, yeah, no, I don't.
No, neither of us speaks Russian, it appears.
On Sunday, here's something great to do with the kids. Sugar Skull Decorating Fiestas at Traveler's Market in DeVargas Center. It's a hands-on celebration. You can make some sugar skulls. That's at 2 p.m. And it's every Sunday through October 31st. So there's more than one opportunity to get your sugar skull on. I've never decorated a sugar skull. I'd like to decorate a stevia skull instead.
Whatever it takes.
Just always thinking about my health.
Yeah, but you don't get to eat it. It's a decoration.
Oh, you don't get to eat it?
Would
what a
you?
Rip. What a jib.
Okay, you can eat it.
You don't tell a kid you're going to take him into a sugar skull decorating thing and then tell him, oh, no, you can't stick your tongue all over it. You can't do that. That's not fair.
Steve Hendricks is going to be talking about his novel, A Kidnapping in Milan, the CIA on Trial, on Tuesday at 2 o'clock at Garcia Street Books.
Excellent.
Yes.
This is the Abiquiu Studio Tour. You want to talk about a great opportunity to see what fall looks like in northern New Mexico. Get in the car, and from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday through Monday, October 9th through 11th, you can drive around. There's going to be people showing their photography, jewelry, sculpture. Maps are available at abiquiustudiotour.org, or you can call 505-685-4454 for more info.
And the KSK Buddhist Center is having a dinner and silent auction to help fund the building of a community meditation hall. And the dinner is vegetarian, vegetarian and non-vegetarian buffet. There's a slideshow, Tibetan children and adult traditional dance and singing, music by Peter Gould on Tibetan instruments and guitar. And that's tomorrow, the 9th of October, from 7 to 9:30 at the Santa Fe Women's Club at 1616 Old Pecos Trail. For more information, call Ellen at 982-2707 or Marmika at 988-3868.
Hey, have you been to Little Wing yet over at the Candyman?
No.
It's this sort of performance space that they have over there now. And on tonight, actually, at 7 o'clock, a contemporary Balkan music by Rumelia with special guest Lily Taylor. They're doing some great programming over there.
Yeah.
It's all ages. It's an alternative to
Lily Taylor?
Yeah.
Which Lily Taylor?
I don't know. I have no idea. Is there more than one?
I think there is.
Okay. Well, one of them is going to be at Little Wing at Candyman at 851 St. Michael's Drive.
Excellent.
At 7 p.m.
And
tonight,
the Southwest Gay and Lesbian Film Festival is happening in Albuquerque. It kicks off today with more than 70 entries, short films, documentaries, all kinds of good things. Have you heard about this, Rob?
No, I haven't.
Oh,
explain to me, Lucy.
For more information, you can go to closetcinema.org or call 505-243-1870. And the venues are in Albuquerque are the Guild Cinema, the Bank of America's Theater, the Southwest Film Festival at UNM. You can get punch card, festival passes, all kinds of good things. Once again, closetcinema.org.
Sweet.
Yep.
There's another thing happening on Sunday at Little Wing that I wanted to tell you about. That's Almatras, a funk, sort of a funk metal fusion trio at 8 p.m., and that's on Sunday. And, oh, also on Sunday is the tribute to Thelonious Monk. Cal Haynes Trio is going to be doing their sort of tribute at the Great Hall, Peterson Student Center, St. John's College, Sunday at 7:30 p.m. There's no charge for that, so that's a free show.
And the Pueblo de Abiquiú Public Library is having the Day of the Book. That's on October 10th, which is Sunday. And Napoleon Garcia, Karen Kirshen, Joan Logie, David Lopez, Sabra Moore, Pam Smith, Robert Torres, and Don Usner are all going to be there. 1 to 4 at the Abiquiú Library in the Abiquiú Plaza across from the church. For more information, 685-4884.
Excellent. Excellent. Let's see, what else is going on? Santa Fe Science Cafe for Young Thinkers. This is also for the kids. The Birth of Black Holes in
yes.
the Universe. Discussion for students age 13 to 19, led by Ed Fenimore.
Who's going to be on the show on Wednesday morning.
Really? Talking
yes.
about black holes?
Yes.
Awesome.
Awesome.
6 p.m. Wednesday, October 13th. I think there's no such thing as black holes. I think they exist on Earth alone, and they're called DMVs. This is at the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum Education Annex.
Now, what about our humble brothers and sisters at the DMV working hard every day?
Oh, I'm not saying that they don't work hard. I'm just saying that, like, people that are standing in line need to learn how to move it along. That's all I'm saying.
And thus spake Rob DeWalt,
That's
speaking
right.
of the arts.
Somewhere.
And sorry if we didn't get to all of the events, but don't forget 350.org. The 10-10-10 event from 1 o'clock on at Frenchie's Field on Sunday here in Santa Fe. Rob DeWalt is with the Pasa Tiempo Friday Arts Magazine in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and he's with us many Fridays now, speaking of the arts.
Yes. It's part of my blood now.
It is part of your vampire blood.
Yes. It's
coming
my
to you live from Transylvania, the Transylvania Baking Company.
Blah.
You've been listening to the
Blah.
Santa Fe Radio Cafe.
Blah.
My name is Carlota.
What she said, blah.
And Marilyn LeBlanc, thank you for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC. Oh, I forgot to say, I'm at radiocafe at ksfrdog.org. That's my email. And the podcast of the show every day. Sometimes I don't post it until the next day, but I try to post it every morning. Right after the show, the podcast is santafe.radiocafe.org. And stay tuned for the BBC, then local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, jazz a la carta.
Yay.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Yes, have a good weekend.
Enjoy the aspens.
That's right. They won't be around forever.
Well, though the leaves will fall off, they'll be around. Ever think of that?
Oh, God, you have such a positive outlook.
They'll regenerate in the spring, I think.
One can hope.
Hasta la vista, baby.